Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tony Manzalina, who Gunnar Henderson was talking about, clip earlier, and then we heard from Zach Eflin about the frustration level with the team. Now 15 games below 500, buried at the bottom of the American League East. And over the weekend, Ryan Ripken, and for Vinny this week, they fired Brandon Hyde. Friday's debacle against the Nats. And I'm trying to remember a specific instance where Brandon Hyde may have cost them the game. And I can't really think of one. I know they left 15 dudes on base. Mm-hmm. I know Ramon Urias came up with the bases loaded multiple times. Mm-hmm. And then Felix Bautista, you know, maybe brain farting it over at first base, which allowed the eventual winning run to score from second. I remember all of that. And I remember Mike Elias about 3 weeks ago, not even, what's today, the 19th, first week of May, when he was doing the promotional tour for himself and the team, having the back of said Brandon Hyde. And Nolan, you'll get in here because you were, you know, not at the front of the line of the get rid of Hyder chatter here, but you were certainly in line for that. And I never want the Orioles to lose. Born and raised Oriole fan since birth. But I was getting a kick on Saturday when they were down 6-0 before you could blink. People just melting down on social media about now Mike Elias is number one in the crosshairs. Kyle Gibson, who pitched, was DFA'd. I'm assuming he'll clear waivers, go back to Norfolk, and try to straighten things out. I guess. I don't really know. But Ryan Ripken, we were talking about it on Friday. Brandon Hyde's job security, and I thought, quite frankly, he had built up enough equity where he was secure. Mm-hmm. Now, going into 2026, all bets are off, but back-to-back manager of the year, Sporting News, then the baseball writer gave it to him, 23, three straight winning seasons, which they hadn't accomplished in years, back-to-back playoff appearances they hadn't done since Davey Johnson was the manager. They were accomplishing things, but they bottomed out this season, and we can come up with reasons / excuses, whatever you want, but Brandon Hyde gets the gate. I guess in the big picture, we're not surprised, but I was flabbergasted by the news when I saw it on Saturday afternoon.
It was shocking, the timing in the sense of what just happened. I was checking when you're saying when Mike Elias was going on, and I got to talk to him. It was 12 days ago. 12 days ago, right. Mike Elias said, I'm not worried about right now. I'm not worried about even going into June. We're going to try to turn this around. But what happens in sports, Bob? When you win, cures everything. But when you lose, problems arise, questions are constant, and people are looking for change. And when you have expectations, and the Orioles, because of all the things that you listed with Brandon Hyde and what they've accomplished over the last 3 years, they had struggles in the postseason. And with the expectations at the all-time high, I think it's the highest it's been since the 90s. Even when Buck Showalter and they had the good run, it's higher now. You knew something was going to have to give. And that game on Friday night, and I sat there and I went through all the good things that they did in that game. Cade Povich, unbelievable start. You knock out Gore before the fourth inning ends. You feel like you're in control of the game, and yet all that's washed away because the Nationals still win the game. That was a microcosm for the year, and whether it's fair or not, someone had to go. Brandon Hyde goes. And I believe also Nolan might have cashed in on his little bet with
Nolan and Vinny.
How about that?
Yeah, I got to buy booze and it's not for me, which is unacceptable in the whole grand scheme of things. But Nolan, you and I were texting on Saturday And of course, I had to throw the, yeah, it was Hyatt's fault when it was 6-0.
I'll let you get that one.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's a layup.
Short term, you that get
was
yours.
That was a George Gervin finger roll.
Just bring me my money.
Well, I'll get you there eventually there. But when you heard the news, like everyone else, I guess there was a certain surprise. Derek Shelton out in Pittsburgh, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Black in Colorado, absolutely. But Brandon Hyde, you said, Ryan, Orioles were favored to win the division by Pecota. A lot of the odds makers had them as the top team in the division, and they're the exact opposite of that right now.
Well, I tell you what, the timing could not have been better for me personally. Saw the text as I was finishing up the front nine of a $75 round of golf. So, yeah, I need that money. I need that money now, and I was playing poorly, as I usually do. So, yeah, I saw it through text. Bob texted me, you got your wish. Vinny texted me a money sign. So we were going back and forth about that. I feel like I'm leaving this with some questions, though. I mean, we just talked about the Mike Elias aspect of it, that his name is on the statement post-firing of Brandon Hyde, seemingly his decision, right? But we just mentioned the media tour he went on. In all of these interviews, very adamant. Brandon Hyde's not going anywhere. He's our guy. And I understand that publicly facing, you're not going to go out in an interview and say, well, I don't know. I'm scratching my head thinking about maybe firing this guy in the next week or so. But still, to be so adamant about it and mention it in every interview, maybe even mentioning it unprovoked a few times. But don't quote me on that. But still, to me, this seemed like a call from above him. If Elias was telling the truth the whole time that Brandon Hyde's our guy, we're not thinking about firing him at all, where did the pressure come from? What was the final tipping point? Friday's loss was as bad as it gets, so I understand that. For that to be the final straw, that would make sense. But a part of me also thinks that maybe some Rubenstein input was a part of this. That, hey, this is completely bottomed out. You got to do something.
Well, I will say, at least from, to give a little bit of just context here. I mentioned earlier that I didn't think that the Orioles would make a move when I interviewed Elias on May 7th, 12 days ago. Mainly just because, you know, you felt like even if they were to stumble, they'd maybe win a couple games, lose, it wouldn't get on a roll. But you'd still think, okay, injuries, they get to June, whatever it may be. However, having said that, I think I mentioned, if they lose 10 in a row and you're in free fall and you can feel that this, you can sense this stress and I don't want to say the emotions rise, but think about this last homestand for a second. It wasn't 10 games of losing, but it was 6 straight at home, and how they lost the doubleheader. Both games they could have won. In one of the games, the Twins had 4 errors. And then you followed up playing the Nationals, who are a young team, but you feel that you are better than them, and you get that really brutal loss on Friday. I think that that just became that final straw of the drastic situation came to be. And I will say this, I don't think that that was even the intention. Like, I do believe Mike Elias. I don't think it was the intention, but because it got to a certain point, and maybe they probably had a difference on it, we're ripping the Band-Aid off. And yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat. Do you think ownership is happy about what's going on? No, but I do give them credit of they are trying to stay back here. They are still trying to assess everything that's going on. But the biggest thing is not going to be in 2025. This isn't a short-term fix for the Baltimore Orioles. It's what do you philosophically have to change? Because the Orioles are so talented, Bob and Nolan. Like, these young guys are so talented. But your worry is, how do you get the most out of them moving forward? Long-term, we're looking at, you want the Orioles to be contenders. Short-term, it's, can you dig out of this adversity knowing you have a very limited chance to make the postseason now?
They're in the dwindling into the low 2 percentile of that sort of thing right now. But as they sit through 45 games, losers of 6 in a row, 12 of 14, 11.5 games behind the Yankees, they're 5.5 behind Tampa here for fourth place. So they're getting distance just in the standings as they're staring up at 4 other teams. Brandon Hyde gone. Came down on Saturday. Tony Manzalino took over, and the Orioles promptly went out and got blown out. 2 straight games. Zach Eplin getting hammered, surprising, did get him through five. You want to look for a positive. Gunnar said and Jackson Holiday all went deep as they tried to make it competitive, and then they added a couple more Nats did late to make it a blowout. And then Saturday, they were out. They were done, you know, half inning in. But as I've always said, you know, even though you're losing 6-0, you still have to grab a bat and get in the batter's box. Mm-hmm. You still have to do your job. You might be fighting an uphill battle. You still have to handle your business. It's a team sport, but maybe the most individual team sport of all. Isn't that the always time-honored statement about baseball? But anyway, Orioles, they suck. The standings say that. The manager's been fired, so he's been sacrificed. Is there hope to turn things around? Colton Cowser's been cleared for baseball activities. Gibson was DFA'd, who was not helping at all. They need a starter for tomorrow night. Probably going to be McDermott, we assume. Tyler O'Neill is back on the injured list. And Jacob Calvin-Meyer, before we hit the break and then get to your phone calls, talk about all the other stuff that happened over the weekend, that Elias spent $73 million in free agent contracts and combined their a negative war, the players that he signed.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof.
Earl Weaver's not helping that cause. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, you want to vent? You want to celebrate? Hey, we're here for you on this Monday. I hope you had a great weekend, by the way.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, second worst run differential on all of baseball, only to the Colorado Rockies. And like the Rockies, the Orioles made a move. Ryan Ripken with the skipper, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll get to your phone calls here in a second. Bob Haney, Ryan's in for Vinny this week. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Tim Cousins goes as well. And you know, you look at his title, and, you know, I'm not trying to diminish his importance to the team, but, okay, I guess he wasn't doing his job properly. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, well, we were just talking right off the air. Him and Hyder are very close. They spent a ton of years together, their friendship, working together before the Orioles, right? I felt like if it was just Hyde being fired, we would have seen that Cuz would have resigned. You know, just out of the respect that they have for one another. It felt like a package deal. And also, I know the title part with Cuz might seem less with being a bullpen coach, catching coach. That dude was one of the most beloved guys in that locker room. And I mean beloved. Every person, whether you're a pitcher, position player, gravitated around him. He made you comfortable. He knew the game very well. So I hate that fact, right? Another good guy has to leave the building. And you and I were talking about this before. I think that we want to look at the results on the field. The human element is this move and getting rid of those guys, it rocked those players. You know, whether they say out loud that it was jarring, it's not surprising. They're not surprised. But I think for the first time, Bob, they're experiencing something that it was a result directly correlated with their performance. Where you're sitting there going, how the hell did we get here? What could I have done? What could we have done? Because our play has now cost us two individuals that not only we respect as coaches, but as we respect as people that no longer are going to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah, Adley looked like he was going to cry pregame on Saturday. As you know, he came up 3 years ago. Brandon Hyde's been kind of a mentor to all of them. And they all took their lumps together. Mm-hmm. Like the Cedrics, the Mountcastles. Well, Hayes no longer part of the equation. But they were the ones taking a lot of beatings. And then they finally got over that hump. And yet here they are. They've cratered. And you know, it's been a large sample size of poor baseball, well over 100 games going back to last year. This is a below average team, and the results speak for themselves right now. It's a different team than the one we saw in October against Kansas City, and completely different, Ryan, than the one we saw against Texas. And I asked Nolan this real quick, and we'll get to the phone calls, I promise. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Orioles are in Milwaukee today. taking on the Brewers, who just, you know, they finally broke the Twins' 13-game winning streak yesterday. But Minnesota was kind of handing it to them that series as well. But if the Orioles would have won a series in 23 postseason or got by Kansas City and lost in the ALDS last year, would he still be here? Would a postseason victory have built even more equity into the equation? Or does that factor in too? Like, dude, you were 0 for 5 in the playoffs, and 4 of those losses were at Camden Yards.
No doubt. I think it would. Honestly, because at the end of the day, in Baltimore sports here, how many times do we talk about, I know the Orioles, it's recently that we've seen the success, but the Ravens, how many times do we talk about the regular season for Baltimore Ravens having a successful year? Right?
All the time.
Right, but then we go.
They always have them.
We go, they always have, but you know what? They're judged. Can you get to the Super Bowl? I haven't been back since Lamar Jackson's taken over as quarterback, right? The same thing is applying with this Orioles team because they haven't won a playoff series with this new regime and organization that took over. And so, yeah, if the Orioles had beaten the Royals, then you go to New York and you win in the ALDS and you get to the ALCS, then the injury part, you go, ah, you know what? It's just a weird year. But we proved that when we're right, we belong and we still are one of the top teams. But when you haven't proven it yet, then the expectations rise. You're on the hot seat. And this can be for a way different call or a time because I know we want to get to the callers. But this is what I was talking about earlier, and we'll break it down later. Philosophical changes, because that's something that they're going to really have to address here with this ball club moving forward.
Nolan, what do you think? Hyde wins a series. He's still the manager?
I think so. Yeah, or at least delays another couple. I mean, gets you past Memorial Day, gets you into June. I mean, if they keep losing, then he's probably going to lose his job at some point. But that is a pretty big deal on the resume. So to say that that would have been glossed over and wouldn't have mattered, I'm with Ryan. It absolutely does matter.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. It's the number. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. We're here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Orioles have fired their manager, Brandon Hyde. Or what did they say? Relieved him of his duties.
Relieved him of his duties.
All righty. Let's go to Todd and Rising Sun. Todd, thanks for holding. What's happening?
What's happening, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Brandon Hyde is not the issue. I called in a couple days ago, if you remember, and I said that. I said he, you know, firing him is not going to increase, you know, the product on the field. And the last thing I'll leave you with is I want to know if Rubenstein, ask him if he knows the infield fly rule. If he can answer that question, then he's a good owner. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Todd. It's Rubenstein, by the way. I would think he would know the infield fly rule. I'm going to go ahead and guarantee you there are people who do sports talk that couldn't explain the infield fly rule.
Yeah,
the current company aside.
Of like actually breaking it down to detail, the concept's simple, but when you got to throw the words out there, right?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, no, he does. I know some people have seen some photos with David and this guy that played in a lot of games, has a huge head. I'm related to him. Going and sitting down and talking to my father about baseball is a different experience. I don't care how well you've watched the game for so many times, because I'm living proof of that. I had to learn things at 10 years old when I wanted to eat ice cream. I'm like, I don't want to talk about cutoffs and relays in the seventh inning down 3. But I'm so grateful I did, by the way, right, Bob? But to Todd's point,
ice cream rules.
It's amazing, yeah. Right? But I will say this, and Todd, you're right. This is what we were trying to say. It's not the snap of a finger. You fire Brandon Hyde and this fixes things. And I meant what I said right before we jumped to you, Todd. There's a philosophical change that needs to happen here with the Baltimore Orioles. And it's not just going to be firing a manager or how things play out this year. There's something deeper rooted that's going to have to change.
Get back to the phones. Let's go to Pikes Village. Jay, thanks for holding. How are you feeling on this Monday?
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, I gave Nolan his props for being a great contributor towards the show. I said, man, no, I first called it. You know, Nolan could attest to that. But, man, Ryan, I agree with you, man. It's like it's more deeply rooted than this because we definitely got the talent. But I would say to my friends, because I love the Ravens, but the Orioles are my ultimate favorite team of all time. Mm-hmm. I was born in 1979, so damn it is right. What it is. You know, so I'm sitting here like, they did not approve the team at all during the offseason. They let key players go away. And I'm even going to include James McCann in that because he was good for us as well, you know, as the catcher. And I'm sitting here like, you replaced Santander with Tyler O'Neill, who's done pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, gave us a couple of runs and keep it going. You let Corbett Burns walk away. I don't know the exact details of Corbett Burns or why he walked away, anything like that. And then I'm like, the only person that's really worked out is Sargano. And he's been good for us. He's been good for us besides the first start. I really don't have no complaints for him, but it's like, and I'm looking at the writers and everyone else, and the Orioles going to finish this, this, and that, as far as like winning the AL and these. I'm like, how? They haven't improved the team. So I'm actually surprised that they this bad. I thought we'd at least be in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, wild card E for sure. Hey, Jay, thanks for the call. But nobody expected this level of collapse. I mean, this is a condemned building right now, and the poor performance has cost a manager his job, who, if they would have won, had a winning season this year, which they still may, they haven't done that in 40 years. They haven't had four straight winning seasons since the mid-80s. I mean, it's insanity here. And all of a sudden, he's the scapegoat for the, you know, he could be Gordon Ramsay.
Mm-hmm.
How you creating a delicious meal of gourmet variety with the ingredients that he's been served here this season.
And I think to go with this point of why people were so high on the Orioles, despite that thinking, okay, maybe you need to go get some other pieces, was because you felt your core of what you had was going to elevate their game. We've talked about this before. The offense was supposed to be a strength. The offense was supposed to be a top five unit. They're not. The pitching staff, we knew that was going to be a weakness, but when you look at some of these games that they've lost, take out the Nationals' last two games, Saturday and Sunday, where Eflin's been great. They'd won three of four starts with Zach Eflin prior to that. The starting staff had actually been picking it up. Then the hitting wasn't there. And then when the starting staff got off to a slow start, the hitters couldn't get out of that hole. So it's way more deep-rooted than that whole situation. And I feel for Hyde, but I think it's the embarrassment level, I think, is why he got let go now. They're 15 under, Bob. They are, what, a game and a half better than the Chicago White Sox, who everyone thought, they thought they were going to be like the Rockies, but worse. And the Orioles are a game and a half, and I think that's essentially the embarrassment factor is what kind of led to the quicker hook here for Brandon Hyde and Cousins.
Yeah, it doesn't make it to June. Doesn't make it to Memorial Day, Brandon Hyde. Mike Axsis at CBSSports.com. He'll join us 11:30, get his surprise level. I don't think it's beyond the boundary of your reality to say they're the most disappointing team in baseball. And the fact that we saw this happen over the weekend, that our beloved manager, fresh off back-to-back playoff appearances, he hits the Cundip. What do you think about that move? Mike Elias, you're now on the hot seat, my friend.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lose to the Nats yesterday, 10-4. Birds have dropped six in a row. They go 0-6 on the homestand. 12-14. 15 games under 500. 11.5 games out of first place. 5 games behind the Rays for fourth place. People want to vent? Let's vent. Let's go to Lou in Baltimore. Lou, how you feeling? Thanks for holding.
Good afternoon, guys. 2 points about the Orioles. First, I think that Mike Elias not holding a press conference over the firing of Brandon Hyde speaks volumes. I do believe it was ownership that twisted his arm, and I think he fired Brandon Hyde at the request of the ownership. And that's kind of a shot across the bow of Mike Elias.
Second thing is that there was questions about whether Brandon Hyde had lost the locker room, and the resounding response has been no, he did not. However, what I think is that Mike Elias has lost the locker room. Let's go back about 3 years when the Orioles were starting to compete, and Elias was asked about buying at the deadline to improve the team, and he made a snarky statement to the effect that, oh, we're not ready to compete, even though the Orioles were playing their asses off and trying to compete. And if you remember, he had to fly down to Houston and apologize to the for that comment. And then finally, Mike Bordick, who I really enjoy as a commentator, he was on a podcast the other day, and he made a statement to the effect of, what are the Oriole players thinking that they're working their butts off to play good baseball and to win, and they have a general manager that's making, at best, marginal moves around the edges to improve the ball club. They got to be sitting at their lockers, and this, I'm paraphrasing what Bordick said, they got to be sitting at their lockers wondering, hey, does our GM have our back? Is he going to try to improve this ball club? We're busting our asses here to win, and our general manager doesn't seem to want to make major or big moves to put us over the top. And I think that has killed the spirit of the ball club.
All right, Lou. Hey, Lou, appreciate it, man. We got other people on the line. I understand what you're saying here. And is he on to something there, what Bordy was saying? All right, forget about Hyde. Has Elias lost the respect of that clubhouse?
I don't want to go as far as to say that.
Wasn't Hayes a beloved member of said clubhouse?
He was.
Wasn't Tony Taters a beloved member of said clubhouse?
No doubt. What I think, though, and this is something that I've even, because I have a personal relationship with Mike Elias, and what I would hope in the future is if you're able to talk more openly and freely with the guys and be more transparent. But that's a hard thing as a general manager to do that with your players because it's a business, right? And you got to go around and make a move. I can get into all of that later on. But I don't think he's lost the locker room. I think, though, and this is what I'm talking about, philosophy, a lot of these guys have come up playing this certain brand of baseball, going through these changes. This is all that they've known their entire career. And now teams have adjusted, and they're not. So I think that, to me, is the bigger point here with the players going, man, we've done this for so many years. We've been working on these skills, and we've developed, and we think we have the talent. Why aren't we having the results? Part of it is, yeah, you need to go out there and get more depth, and maybe you can say get more players. But the other part of it is our way of winning actually the way that's going to help us win games and get to the postseason? I think that's the question mark that a lot of guys are having right now.
And we'll talk about this when we come back too. Lou brought up a good point. You know, 2 weeks ago, he was on your show, mm-hmm. 12 days ago, he was doing the Mike Elias media tour. Where is he now? You say have a personal relationship? Get his ass on the phone. Mike Elias, we want you, like Uncle Sam. We'll get to Buck Britton not getting the job, and I think that's a good thing for him, and we'll talk about that. But people want to still vent, I guess. The Orioles have lost 6 in a row. They're 15 games under 500 for the first time, I don't know, a couple of presidents ago, I believe. Let's go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, what's up?
Gentlemen, great show as always. I wanted to pose a question regarding the Orioles and everything to Ryan. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're like in a subdued environment, and I think they're analytically, you know, they're leaning on the analytics. And I was wondering if what his opinion would be. Like, I think it would be to kind of equalize that or to balance it out to get like a skipper that's like a grizzled vet, a little bit more hands on, old school, to kind of balance out. They seem to. I don't know. I know they needed to do something. I wish they wouldn't have gotten rid of Hyde. But, you know, to kind of balance I think he's absolutely right. It's a philosophical shift that has to happen. And I was just wondering if he could expand on that or what he would think if they were to do that, if that would be a good avenue to go. You guys have a great day.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Like a Buck Showalter, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Maddon, who, wasn't he one of the pioneers of the shift a few years ago? But I think he's kind of flipped back to more of an old school mentality, yeah, where he thinks analytics have maybe ruined.
And Brandon Hyde was from the Joe Maddon tree out in Chicago. And Chris, appreciate the call and question. You know, that's what I was kind of digging into philosophically, is when you're coming up through the system and you're taught a certain way how to maximize your skills as a hitter. And in the minor leagues, you know, for the Orioles, it was trying to maximize how you could do damage with the baseball. And for those that don't know what that means, you're trying to drive the baseball, extra base hits, get the ball in the air, doubles, triples, home runs, right? And in the minors, you can get away with a little bit more because it's about the process, not always the result. And then if you do well and the team doesn't do well, you're going to continue to move. So a lot of those guys have done a tremendous job of maximizing that they physically have the skill set to succeed. But when you get to the big leagues, you're facing consistent arms that are going to adapt each time they see you, every year as well, and we've seen the progression. And I think that that's something that I've looked at the most, and especially for someone being in the system, you know, the human element of the game's still here. Until you go to an ABS system where a ball could be a ball, but if the umpire's calling that pitch 6 inches off the plate and I know he's ringing me up, Bob, you best believe I'm throwing the bat out there, right? So it's little things like that where you have to kind of change your approach and mindset. And I'm with you, Chris. I think for the Orioles, if you are going to take a step next year, I think you need to bring someone in that has been around. It's not that, and we've seen names like Ryan Flaherty thrown around or Buck Britton on the staff or Robbie Chirinos. Personally, I don't think it's good for any of those guys. I think someone that's been around the game, that has a pulse for how things work, I think that's what you're going to need, especially a guy with a track record, because you bring in a guy with a track record, even like Terry Francona in Cincinnati, sure, and they've had a struggle to start this year, but guess what? They won. They just swept the Guardians, I believe, and won that series. Just having Terry in that dugout, their whole mindset's changed, and they're riding out the good and bad, and I think that's really important for a young ball club that's still trying to figure it out.
Saw what Texas did a couple years ago with Bruce Bochy.
Exactly, exactly.
Took them to the World Championship, and they're percolating right now, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Sam in Rosedale. Sam, thanks for holding your own with Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and the always electric Nolan McGraw.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I do want to get to Mike Elias, but I also heard the word systemic problem, or the two words, and it is truly a systemic problem. It starts at the minor leagues. They're not being prepared. In my opinion, they're not being prepared properly to be able to cope with, deal with, and actually execute what they learn in the big leagues. Now, when they get to the big leagues, you have a person like Mike Elias determining who is going to be on the field, and particularly with the pitchers that he's brought into this organization over the past season and a half, he's performing below F level. I mean, it's absurd when you can bring in a 41-year-old rag arm and expect him to be a starter or a competent reliever. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. And when there are certain people that are out there that could be acquired, some, I know that they don't want to be here, but, you know, that's his job. And he's not doing his job in total. I mean, again, I go back to the pitchers. He brought in two pitchers from Cincinnati a season ago, and for, I believe they were relievers, they couldn't get out of the innings that they were brought in for. He brought in this guy, I'm bad on names, but Morton, I think it was Morton.
Yep.
He has been an astounding failure, but he brought him in, and he persisted in keeping him in. So, I think that Mr. Elias ought to have to, going back to I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. Sam in Rosedale. He's bad at names, but he's good at curse words. Apparently, it was the Phillies. Soto and Dominguez came over, yes, not the Cincinnati because Hayes went to Philadelphia. Yes. Austin Hayes now in Cincinnati as a free agent signee by the Reds. But right. he was, Mike Elias, very active at the trade deadline last year. Outside of Eflin and at times Soto and Dominguez, things didn't really pan out too well for them. And, we'll get to Stowers and Norby when we get to the AL East report later in the show. But they've got nothing back on that trade because Trevor Rogers is still trying to work himself back into major league readiness here.
Yeah, I think I want people to understand this. And at least if you're going to talk about the bad that you think Elias is doing, the good, they have brought in some really good pieces to this team. They've made some good deals before where Cade Povich, I think, can be a really good starting pitcher for this team. That was a trade. Cano in the bullpen's a good piece. You drafted Gunner. Colton Cowser, rookie of the year, all-star type player. Westberg's an all-star. You have Adley, which I'm going to buy
Bringing in O'Hearn was a brilliant move.
O'Hearn was a great thing. So, like, those are the good, right? The bad is what we're seeing, that if you're not spending a lot to go get some of the premier guys, which doesn't mean it's going to pan out, by the way, but it's the guys that you do bring in that haven't panned out, that's where people are going to focus on. So at the trade deadline right now, the constant one has been Zach Eflin from last year. And Dominguez, I thought overall he's been solid. But then free agency, it feels like you have more people that you were depending on haven't been what you needed. Like Charlie Morton, I think would have been fine if he wasn't going to be asked to be the number one or number two guy. Because then he's in a role he's never been in his career. And he's a pro, but you can tell that shell shocked him from the start. So I think the moves for Elias can be questioned for what they've done, but it hasn't been a lack of not doing moves. It's been the result of doing maybe the wrong moves.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill is Morton level disappointing so far here in 2025. Yes. And this is a guy who's been on the IL 14 times in his career, including 3 times last year with Boston. And we're not even at Memorial Day. And he's on for the second time here with the Orioles. And you could have had Tony Taters for what you paid O'Neill if you would have offered him that contract back in February of 2024. Believe that.
He could have. But I will say this with Tony. As soon as the season started, they said, we're close. You missed that window. And we're going to play it out. And Tony played it out. And guess what? He got paid. It's just a little bit rough right now for him.
Well, yeah, he won for his last 16. Peter Smuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com next. He wrote a column on that website about the firing of Brandon Hyde. Let's just say he might not agree with it. Stick around to find out why. We'll get back to your phone calls. Nolan, we'll push Whip to 11:45. Is that cool? And then Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com. Orioles' most disappointing team in baseball, but it's this still a surprising move that Brandon Hyde gets the old heave-ho over the weekend.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.